I'd like to turn again, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, and reading in chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'm reading at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And we know God will add his blessing to the further reading of his own good word. Our brother has already been bringing to our attention some of the delightful beauties of this third gospel, the Gospel of Luke. I thought, what a delightful chapter is chapter 2. You know, there is one subject that really runs throughout the chapter, and it's the subject of finding Christ. Our brother has reminded us already that at the very outset of this chapter, there are shepherds going to find him. And what a find! Those shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. Divine communication is given to them. And as they move in fellowship with them, they find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. At the end of the chapter, there's a Mary and a Joseph, and they too are going to find Christ. You know, they had went without him. They had went a whole day without him. And they just supposed that he was in their company. My brother, my sister, if we were honest with our heart, there have been many days like that. We can never take for granted that he's with us. A whole day went by, and they'd never heard his voice, and they'd never known the smile of his face. But how wonderful. You know, they weren't just going to go on like that. One day was enough like that. They're going to retrace their steps. And what an encouragement to all our souls. They just found them. Or they left them. That's the truth of restoration. But here in the very heart of chapter 2, there is a godly couple. Our brother has spoken about them, Simeon and Anna. And they too are going to find Christ. Oh, what a find for them. They're waiting for the consolation of Israel. They're waiting for that one to come alongside to help. And they're going to find him that day. And they will find him in the temple. I want particularly, as God would help me, to speak about this lovely character by the name of Simeon. I was impressed some time ago with three statements about him that we read tonight. It says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. It says, secondly, that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then thirdly, we read that he came by the Spirit into the temple. So here is a man who is motivated and controlled and guided in his daily life by the divine Spirit of God. I wonder how much we know of that. The direction of the Spirit of God along life's journey. You know, if these features that we're going to look at were true of Simeon, how much more they ought to be true of you and I. I would judge that Simeon would be like Old Testament saints. That the Holy Ghost would come upon on certain occasions for a particular purpose. How different you and I in this day of grace. The very moment that you and I trusted Christ, we were indwelt by a divine person. I think it was Wesley that had it right in his lovely hymn when he said, soon as my all I venture upon the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, you might say to me, what effect had this upon Simeon? I did notice that the first thing was this, that the Spirit of God gave him an ear to hear. And an ear to hear the word of God. I hear the language of this man. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. You know, Simeon's name means hearing. You may recall that Jacob's second boy was called Simeon. And his mother called him that. For she says, the Lord hath heard. And so here is a man with an ear to hear. And an ear to hear, not the gossip. Not the latest things that are arising in the world. Not the headlines that catch our attention. But here is a man with an ear to hear divine things. An ear open to hear the voice of God. Oh, my brother, my sister, I do trust that that is true of every heart that has come to the meeting tonight. What a blessing these conference meetings may be. If every heart would come just with an opened ear to hear the voice of God. Well might the Savior in his preaching say repeatedly, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. To every company in those opening chapters of the book of the Revelation, I read, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. What a lovely example we have in this very chapter, we have the supreme example, the Christ of God. I think of him as a boy of 12, sitting in the midst of the doctor's booth, hearing them. That marked him. In the midst of those learned men, he had an ear to hear, both hearing them and asking them questions. Is he not the one that our brother has spoken about? The perfect servant. I thought of him in Isaiah 50, whose ear was open morning by morning. His ear was open to hear, as a learn. No wonder the hymn writer penned those lovely words. He said, thy stainless life, thy holy walk, in every aspect true, from the defilement all around, no taint of evil through. Morning by morning heeded we, amidst this poisoned air, yet no contagion touched his soul, no sin disturbed his breath. Oh, that we could learn this from Simeon. You know, it's a sign of divine life when one has an ear to hear the word of God. But I notice, secondly, not only has the Spirit of God given him an ear to hear, that's where it all starts, you know. No other progress will ever be made if we do not have that open ear. This man is going to get a revelation of Christ, but it all started with an ear open to hear the word of God. And then I notice, secondly, the Spirit of God has not only given him an ear to hear divine things, but did you notice that the Spirit of God will guide his feet? Says he came by the Spirit into the temple. Luke's gospel is undoubtedly the priestly gospel, as we've heard. Starts in the temple in chapter 1. And it ends in the temple in chapter 24. And Luke is going to speak about things surrounding the temple. I noticed that the Spirit of God has guided Simeon there. Oh, I know that the temple, as our brother has said, was not all that God would have liked it to have been in Luke chapter 2. But my brother, my sister, it was the place where God had placed his name. It was to that very place up at Jerusalem that God had instructed that his people of old would gather. You see, has God still a gathering center? Bless God, he has. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I trust we have not lost the sweetness and the preciousness of the words of the Savior himself. In Matthew 18 and 20, he could say, where two or three are gathered together, or having been gathered together in my name, or unto my name. What an attraction! He says, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, that each one of us might know something of the Spirit's guidance. I trust that we all have known something of that. Not only an ear to hear divine truth, but feet guided to a place where Christ was found. Oh, for longings like the bride in that lovely song, when she says, tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Like those disciples in John 1, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? They just longed to be where he was. It is the outside place. What a privilege in the language of Hebrews 13. I love that verse, Hebrews 13, verse 13. It's easy to remember. Chapter 13, verse 13. And in our authorized version, 13 words in the verse. But the sweetest of all is the central word. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I trust we have known something of that. Hymn writer said he called me out, the man with garments down. I knew his form, my Lord the crucified. He showed himself, and oh, I could not stay. I had to follow him. Had to obey. Cast me out this world when it had found that I within my rebel-hearted crown, the man they had rejected, spurned and slain, whom God in wondrous grace had raised to reign. And so we are without the camp, my Lord and I. But though his presence sweeter is than any earthly tie, that once I counted greater than his place, I'm out not only from the world, but to his name. I trust my brother, my sister, like Simeon, the Spirit of God has given us an ear to hear the Word of God. And in fellowship with the Word of God, our feet have been directed to that place where Christ is found. I noticed too that the Spirit of God would give Simeon eyes to see Christ. Oh, he not only has found a place, but he's going to find a person in the place. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. My brother, my sister, I want to say this tonight, that the Spirit of God longs to reveal Christ to the heart. Here is a book, and it's full of Christ. There is one subject from Genesis to Revelation. You know, the first writer, the Savior told me, he spoke about himself. One day, in the midst of learned men, the Savior said to them, he said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Good to remember that. That when you're reading those first five books, that Moses was writing about a subject. He was writing of Christ. That must have been a great revelation to Nicodemus in John 3. When he heard that a serpent lifted up on a pole was none less than Christ on the cross. I tell you, I'm sure he went back to read his Bible in a different light. To find Christ in every page. Just for finding him. If not, we're missing the mark. Spirit of God longs to reveal Christ and reveal him to the heart. What a message our brother has reminded us of Luke 24 as he closed. What a day it was for that couple. Oh, they'd left the center and they'd left Jerusalem. But there's nothing brought the heart back like Christ. What an exposition, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, for eyes to see. Oh, for that anointed eye. The Savior said of the Lord, of the Spirit of God, he will take of mine and reveal it unto you. So I notice here is Simeon. He has eyes to see. But more than that, I notice that the Spirit of God gave him hands to handle him. took him up in his arms. What's he doing? He's taking Christ for himself. He has not only seen him, but reverently speaking, he's seeking to handle him. Oh, what a meeting we have in Luke 2. Our brothers reminded us of Mary. Mary coming, what with? In one hand, as it were, the pair of turtle doves. But in the other arm, Christ. We can learn a lot from Mary. She teaches me how to handle the types in the Old Testament. She's bringing in one hand the type, the pair of turtle doves. But in the arm, she's bringing in the great antitype. She's bringing in Christ himself. Oh, what a precious bundle, reverently speaking, was the bundle that Mary brought in that. As you could say in the language of the bride, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. Oh, for hands to handle in the way we would like. Not only Mary bringing him in, but Simeon taking him up. What a way of offering this is in Luke chapter 2. To present him to the Father in all his beauty and loveliness. My brother, my sister, there is no greater honor than that. I do endorse what my brother has said to him in relation to our brethren. I have never understood why a brother can travel 40-50 miles on a Lord's Day night to preach Christ to sinners, who has never on the Lord's Day morning told the Father what they thought of it. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And him only. Felt us there. I believe worship comes first. And then serves. What a privilege then for sin. To be able. To handle Christ. No, I couldn't help as I ponder that today. The words of John in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. You know, I might have said to John, what was the greatest privilege you did have in life? Well, you know, he could have said many things. He could have said, you know, I wrote a lovely gospel. So he did. He might have said to you, you know, I have the last word in prophecy. So he had. You know what I think he would have said? I think he would have said, the greatest privilege ever I had in life was this. I have the honor to handle him. I trust my brother, my sister, we know something of that. Not only eyes to see him, but hands reverently speaking to handle. That's just appreciating Christ for yourself. Taking him to yourself. Appreciating something of him for your own soul. Like the offerer in Leviticus 2, just to put your hand to the very fine, the finest of the flower, and take your own hand, your own appreciation. Then I noticed that the Spirit of God has given Simeon lips to speak of Christ. Is there not a beautiful order here? An ear open. Feet guided to the right place. Eyes to see him. Hands to handle him. And only there. Lips to speak about him. What a language is the language of Simeon. You know, it's very simple. It's very short. I want to tell you, it's intensely sweet. And it's indeed spiritual. You could develop all those things. There's brevity, and yet there's beauty. You know, I get a great encouragement from Leviticus 1. I may have mentioned it before. In the burnt offering. I see a man bringing a bullock, and we're always inclined to think that's the big thing, you know. We'd love to reach that. And we see another bringing the sheep and another the goat. And then we see someone with a turtle dove or the pigeon. And we're inclined to discount that. That's not very much. I like to look at it like this. You know, the bullock's the animal for the low ground. You would not ever survive for the sheep or the goat would. The sheep or the goat's the animal for the hill. But you know, the pair of turtle doves should reach heights that the others knew nothing. Is that not oftentimes true? I want to encourage our younger brother. Just a few words. Guided by the Spirit of God. I tell you what, they could just be like the Spirit of God. I noticed too his language was intelligent. You know, as he looks at this one in his arms, he speaks about him as a light to light in the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people is. You notice the order? You will notice that although he is a Jew, he's not a bigoted Jew. He could see that this one he holds in his arms is one that can meet the need of Gentiles. Bless God for that. That ought to bow our hearts and worship. But he is the light to light in the Gentiles first. And then he is the glory of thy people Israel. He believes there is a glorious future for the nation. I trust we all do. Well, you say, who has taught him all these things? How has he things in the right perspective? Who has been his teacher? Unless than the same teacher that you and I have. The divine spirit of God himself. I notice too he's a blessing for Mira. I cannot say that. But a man guided by the spirit of God is a word of season. May have been years later. The truth of this would thrill the heart of Mira. Simeon has the opportunity of imparting it. The time is gone, but I want to say this as I close. I notice that the Spirit of God gives Simeon longings for that which was lasting and eternal. Did you notice that? one glimpse of Christ. One day when he handled Christ, he lost his appetite for everything else. Lord, now let us know thy servant of happiness. Longings now for what really counts. My brother, my sister, there's nothing will wean your heart away from the world like occupation with the Son of God. There's nothing will help you to walk a separated path. There's nothing will give you a love for the assembly and a love for the people of God. An occupation with the Christ of God, I've come to learn that. Well, you say it's all right for him. He's an old man. He's ready to go. I said to you tonight he was just a teenager. He was just up at the law schools in Jerusalem as a student. I would just have as much right to say that as you would have in saying he was old. We're not told his age. He's just a man in Jerusalem. That's why it's open to everyone. Our ministry tonight is just not for those with a hoary head. It's for the youngest child of God. What was true of Simeon can be true of any. One glimpse of Christ. And he could say if he'd have known that head, take the world. But give me Jesus all its joy. You will notice this, how one glimpse of Christ affected two different people. Well, it will affect Anna in a different way. And as our brother has said, she undoubtedly was old. She was of a great age. But did you notice one glimpse of Christ? And she's no thought about going home. She just wants to speak of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. I say again, my brother, my sister, what a meeting. Mary to bring him in, Simeon to lift him up and speak to the Father about him. The result of the meeting, there are those leaving him. All they want to do, like Anna, in their own quiet way. In their own personal conversations. Just to speak of it. It is, of course, the gospel of spiritual conversation. It's a theme that runs throughout Luke's gospel. What a joy for an Anna to do that. She's of the tribe of Asher. You know, it's said of that tribe that they yield royal gifts. What royal gifts, Anna, could yield that. You know, I thought maybe Paul is both things in mind. Philippians 1. I'm really in a split betwixt two. Like Simeon, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far back. But like an Anna, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I do trust my brother, my sister, that the result of these meetings today, that every one of us would have longings for that really matters in life, that which longings for that which is lasting and that which is. Our God and Father, we bow again before thee, and in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give to thee our thanks for the opportunity of being here. We thank thee for the fellowship amongst thy people, and for fellowship around thy precious word. We thank thee for this lovely gospel that we have been looking at. We thank thee for the beauties of it. We thank thee for how it betrays thy blessed Son. We thank thee that for the way in which it reveals him as the man of perfect beauty and the man of perfect balance. We thank thee for the priestly Christ that moved here amongst men. We think of one whose heart was touched to us. We thank thee that this is the one who now lives for us at thy right hand. We thank thee for our great high priest, whoever liveth, to make intercession for us. And we bless thee for the prospect of his soon return, that one of these days, he who shall come, and will not tire. Help each one of us tonight, just to go home, and resolve in our own mind, to live for thee, to buy up the opportunities, until that day, when we see his blessed face. Bless thy word, we pray, and bless thy people. We thank thee for all that have come. Remember them now, as they make their journey home, we pray. And remember us throughout these gatherings, day after day. We need thy presence. We look to thee expectantly for divine help. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.